10-year-old Pennsylvania girl is not expected to live through the weekend unless she receives a double lung transplant. Sarah Murnahan has cystic fibrosis and is at the top of the pediatric transplant list. She was also added to the adult list, but guidelines have put her on the bottom. Dr. Stuart Sweet is director of the pediatric lung transplant program at St. Louis Children's Hospital. He's also a member of the committee that helped draft those rules. Dr. Sweet, welcome.
Thank you.
I have to begin with the question that everybody's asking. Sarah's case is obviously an extraordinary one, but here we have a young girl who's been determined that she can accept an adult donor lung, and she may not even live through the end of this week. So why can't we make an exception in her case?
First of all, I have to make it really clear to you that speaking as a representative of the OPTN, I can't comment on any specific case. But let me tell you that the framework that the OPTN operates under is defined by the organ allocation policies. And we are governed by the final rule for organ allocation that tells us we have to define the policies and then work within the policies to allocate the organs. The organ allocation system is designed to offer organs as fairly as possible to every patient waiting for organs. And what we know is that children under 12 years of age are offered by the system organs from donors under 12 years of age first. In addition, if the transplant center wishes to list a patient with criteria that would bring them access to organs from a large patient, those organs can come to a patient under 12 years of age after they've been offered to an adult or an adolescent.
So it sounds like Sarah will probably die.
I think that I can't answer that specifically. I can't provide specific information about a single case. I'm really sorry about that, but that's the circumstances that I have in front of me.
Dr. Sweet, if I may, I just want to acknowledge that you've dedicated your career to saving children's lives or trying to save children's lives who have severe lung diseases. As a society, we have to have a set of rules so that we know everyone can move forward together.
Can I just add something to that? Because I think it's really important. I got involved with UNOS 10 years ago to speak up for children in the allocation system. In part, my involvement helped that developed the lung allocation system in a way that was better for children than it was originally designed. And I was the chair of the pediatric committee when the priority tiers were put in 2008. So I want to make it clear that I have advocated for children at UNOS every step of my time there. And I wish I could get the system to say every child who needs a lung transplant gets precedence, but that's not really the way the system is designed to work. And the other thing that I want to make crystal clear is the system is designed to be sure that no single voice overwhelms the voices of all the other people in need.
So maybe I might be approaching this from the perspective of someone who doesn't understand the scientific background and the thinking that went into creating these guidelines. But nevertheless, people have this question of fairness. In cases in which a pediatric patient is determined to be able to receive an adult donation, and so they are put into the bigger pool. This is what I guess people are wondering. If they're in that bigger pool, why is it that they're still put at the bottom of the list and adults who have less critical lung disease or organ diseases are higher on the list? Help me understand that, because I feel like I'm just missing something.
That was where we were when we put the lung allocation system in place with every patient waiting for lungs. In 2005, before the lung allocation system went into place, every patient was offered lungs on the basis of time waiting because there was no way to compare one patient to another in terms of their urgency. What we did was we used the data that the OPTN had collected over several years prior to implementation to develop models that predicted the waiting list mortality for all of the 12 and up patients on the list, and also predicted the amount of time that those patients would survive after transplant. And those models are what drive the ordering in the 12 and up allocation system. We do not have the models for children under 12, and it's unlikely we'll be able to create those models because the numbers of children coming to lung transplant in that age group are one or more orders of magnitude smaller than the numbers of patients coming to transplant in the older group. in order to be sure that we make changes that are based on sound medical judgment, that are approved by consensus of all the people who have a stake in the process, and as best we can, don't have any unintended consequences, when issues like this come up, we cannot act rapidly.
Well, Dr. Sweet, I guess this is such a thorny issue. It's medical, it's scientific, it's ethical. It really gets to you. For example, Art Kaplan from the Langone Center in New York says that children should be given priority if they're sicker than adults because not only do they have the greatest need, but they have the greatest number of potentially healthy years in front of them or the most use they can get out of an organ. So far, I don't see that as being any part of the criteria for where a recipient is ranked. So how would you answer that, or what's your response to that approach?
To be honest with you, it may not be apparent from the case that's presented in front of us, but I've used those words many times over the years to advocate for changes in the allocation system that would benefit children. Absolutely, you have to make a decision about what the urgency of need is on either side of the equation. Absolutely, you have to look at the overall long-term likelihood of benefit of that transplantation for the recipient. But it turns out that transplantation, lung transplantation, for example, is not a great guarantee of longevity. More than half of the patients who get a lung transplant are not alive 5+ years out. That's the reality. They're getting a lung transplant, which trades one set of problems for another set of problems, which in some ways is just as big. So you can't just look at it the way Art Kaplan was looking at it. You have to look at it in the context of what the benefit is in addition to what the risks are. Hmm. My goal, and I've said this before, is that no child should die waiting for a lung transplant, for any organ transplant. To get to that goal requires the process that I described. I can't snap my fingers and make it happen.
Well, Dr. Stuart Sweet is the director of the Pediatric Lung Transplant Program at St. Louis Children's Hospital. Dr. Sweet, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us in a tough conversation, but I appreciate it.
Thank you for giving us the opportunity to share my perspective.
The news is next, here and now.